There is no great example to give to you tonight in helping you understand what Jesus endured. There is none. I could tell you many, many different stories, analogies, illustrations, and all of them will fail in comparison to give you a glimpse of what happened that day. But this verse summarizes it in the most beautiful way possible. Again, it says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." As a kid, I grew up and I loved collecting baseball cards. Maybe you did as well. I would love to gather with my friends, and as we were collecting whole sets, on the back of the baseball cards there would be certain numbers, and you'd know which ones you were missing to complete your set. Different baseball cards have different value. The better players, the more rare cards are more valuable than the common cards. You know what I mean. And so when you would trade baseball cards with somebody else, you were hoping to get something of equal value back. I mean, that's what you do in any trade, right? You're trading something that you have for something that you need. And to be fair, it should be a wash in the end. It benefits both parties, and it's a fair trade. That's how it typically works. You trade in your car, you trade in this, or whatever you're going to trade, that's how trades work. They work for both people. The point of the trade is to be fair. The cross is not fair. It's not. It's not fair. Because in the cross, there was a cosmic trade that happened. The trade is simple. Jesus gives us his righteousness. The word righteous means holiness, perfection, right standing before God. Joy, peace, love, acceptance. In Jesus, that's what he gives us. But in order to make that transaction and trade, we give him our lies, our greed, our lust, our pride, our anger, our rebellion against God. This is what Good Friday is all about. It's a cosmic trade that is completely and totally unfair. We make out very well, don't we? Jesus trades his righteousness for our sin on the cross. This is incredible. Why did God do this? Paul says, for our sake. Without this trade-off, you and I would spend an eternity in a lake of fire which burns forever, night and day, experiencing the full weight of God's wrath. Never-ending torture and separation from God. God did this for our sake because nobody could save themselves. Nobody in this room could die on a cross and say, "Hey God, I tried my best, can I get in?" It took the Son of God to do that. And only Jesus could have accomplished this. Why does God do this for our sake? Well, the scriptures are very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's why. God loves the world. And God was seeking his maximum glory. And this is a plan that God has instituted since before the world began. Not plan B. This has always been plan A. For Jesus to be arrested, put on trial, scourged, whipped, crucified. For our sake. The Romans didn't kill Jesus, let's be clear. The Jews did not crucify Jesus, let's be clear. Yes, they were the human instruments that carried out the divine decree. But ultimately, they did not kill Jesus. His Father did. For our sake, He, that's the Father, made Him. He made him. That's an action of God the Father. Acts chapter 2, Peter's beautiful sermon. Peter says this, that it was foreordained by the hand of God to crucify his Son. Isaiah the prophet says this. In Isaiah 53, he says, and it pleased the Father crush the Son. If the Jews and Romans had crucified Jesus and offered up a sacrifice, it would not have been good enough. But God, acting as God, punishing his own Son, that was good enough. This is an amazing thing to think about. He made him. This is an act of God. And we see a glimpse of this in the Old Testament. Abraham, the father, offering up on the altar his only son. What is God doing in Genesis? Hey, I'm giving you a sneak peek of what the father will do to his son. Of course, God spared Isaac, provided a ram caught in the thicket. But this time, there would not be another scapegoat. There would not be a cry from heaven to stop the cross. It was God who did it, and it was God who was glorified in doing it. For our sake, he made him to be sin. Again, more astounding words. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus, who was perfect and innocent and sinless, on that cross became something he had never been or experienced in all of his life. And God the Father was treating Jesus in that moment as if he were the sinner. This is what it means that he made him to be sin. On that day, God is pouring out all of his justice, all of his wrath, all of his anger on sin. He poured out his righteous anger and his hot wrath and his holy justice upon Jesus. So we could say this. God the Father treated Jesus on that cross as if he were the liar. As if he were the thief. As if he committed adultery. As if he was the porn addict. As if he was the drunk. As if he disobeyed his parents. As if he cheated his employer. As if he was the murderer. Or the gossip. Or the glutton.
or the Sabbath breaker. So Jesus was treated like a criminal. He knew no sin, but yet God made him to be sin for our sake. This is Good Friday, and this is all of God's plan, and it pleases God. Why? Why does it please God? Why does Isaiah 53:10 said it was the will of the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief, to make his soul an offering for guilt? It's the end of this verse. So that, that's purpose, right? That's the purpose of the verse. This is the transitioning of the verse. Why did God do this? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's an unfair trade. We who are unrighteous inherit righteousness. And Jesus, who is righteous, inherits our unrighteousness. That is scandalous, folks. The cross is scandalous. But it's what is necessary. It is what is necessary to bring men and women and children into a right relationship with God. Oh, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. The gospel is that we are condemned because of our sin. We stand guilty in judgment of God and his wrath. We deserve all of it, and there is no way we should ever escape it. None. But then God did what was unfair. To be fair means you get treated as you deserve. That's what it means to be treated fairly. We are not treated fairly. And praise God for that, right? If God treated you fairly, there wouldn't be a single one of us alive in this room right now. We'd all be dead. So the Bible says, Ezekiel 18 says, the soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death, Romans 3. This is the price we pay for being rebels. But God in his mercy, because he was pleased with Christ, because it was his plan, because he wanted us to be righteous before him, made him to be sin. This is an act of God. This is why Good Friday is good. So what do we do with this information? What do we do with this truth? Well, again, if you don't know this Jesus, you've never confessed your sin to him, you've never asked him to forgive you, you are not born again, you don't know if you would go to heaven if you were to die tonight. Friends, do not delay another second. You must repent of your sins and turn your eyes upon Christ by faith and be saved. This is God's grace and mercy and unfairness towards you. And for those of us who are in Christ already, those of us who are believers, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we've been set free. Let me ask you a question. How lightly do you take your sin? How often do you rationalize in your brain, no one's ever going to find out? How often do you play those games? It's only one time. It's okay. I'll just ask God to forgive me later. That makes a mockery of Christ. And may we repent of that sinful attitude and feel the weight of him hanging on that cross, bleeding, flesh dangling from his body after the severe scourging. And know that if that's what my sin cost Jesus, then Satan, get far away from me. That is not worth playing around with. That is not worth my time. That is not worth anything pleasure that I think I might gain from that. Oh God, give us a big and glorious vision of Christ to make Jesus look big and our sin look small. Make Jesus look so desirous to see our sin be so repulsive. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for me. Oh, Dan, that sin that tempts you, may you be repulsed by it because of the weightiness of God's love for you and the cost it took Christ to save you, Dan. May you repent of your sin today, confess it to God, and we're going to do that through communion tonight. We're going to sing a song to prepare our hearts to go into communion, and then we're going to observe it. So let's just do that now. At the conclusion of the song, if the deacons could meet me up at the front, and we would observe the Lord's table. If you're a born-again Christian and have confessed that by your baptism, we ask you to join with us tonight. Let's sing.